No matter what anybody tells you, words and ideas can change the world.
Okay, terrific.
Language and writing were made available.
He'll teach you everything.
I'm writing this down. This is good stuff.
Hey, I'm John. This is John Helps You Write Better. And today I want to tell you about a conversation I had yesterday with a writer. And just so we're clear up front, it was a good conversation. This isn't me yelling at them or thinking they were doing a bad job. It was a genuinely interesting conversation because they brought something to my attention that really, I don't know if we ever really sat and talked about, not just you and me here, but just in general when we cover writing advice. I think we sort of stumbled into discussing something that doesn't come up a lot, and that is what exactly show versus tell as a big broad concept really looks like on the page. Because you can go anywhere, all over social media, and find loads of different people of varying experience, seriousness, quality, grift, etc., tell you all about over and over, beat you over the head with this idea that you're supposed to do all of one and not the other. And if you're a listener at all to anything I've ever said, you know that's horseshit. And you can scroll down through this whole podcast feed to find a really lengthy discussion of exactly why that's horseshit and what you can do instead. And we were talking about all that, and we were talking about their work and their new first chapter in the new story they've started. And I had gone through it and left them a few notes. And the predominant issue, other than, like, you know, the basic stuff of too many commas and, you know, a couple strange pronouns, the big point was there were many times where this writer had elected to over-indicate, you know, how a character was feeling and why they were feeling it. Not even the why in terms of, like, the context of why. Just a straight statement to the reader as, this character felt X. And it happened a lot to the point where I started leaving questions like, what are you trying to do here? And why do you think this is the best way to accomplish it? Not in a mean way, not in a, you know, shake my finger at you kind of way. But it's happening so frequently, there must be some kind of idea at work here or assumption at play that we can, you know, question and look at and maybe develop something out of it. And so we had this conversation and they explained to me, oh, well, that's what they have come to understand show and tell to be. Sometimes you need to dictate to the reader why a character is feeling a thing, which is true. There are going to be times on the page where you're going to have to express in some way, shape, or form very concretely and, you know, in a statement, how a character is feeling. Person feels sad, she's happy, they're in love, whatever it might be. That's not a problem. It's okay to do that. The problem is when you are doing it without the situational context around it. Because if I just tell you, oh, I'm happy today, that's nice. What are you supposed to do with that information? So when we write a sentence about how a character feels, emotion, thought, whatever, any internal really, but we're going to focus on thought, on feelings today for this. When you've got that sentence, you have to remember that it is caused and prompted by something that the reader needs to have recently just read. Now, recently, I'm making air quotes, is a pretty flexible term. Recently might be the paragraph before, the same sentence, five sentences ago, the top of this page. You know, you have a lot of wiggle room depending on how you're writing your sentences and how many sentences there are and the sort of pace of your moment. But there needs to be some kind of clear stuff going on that the reader can imagine, whether that stuff is action or talking or, you know, description of the weather or, you know, anything. There needs to be something on the page so that the reader can associate the specific statement of this character is feeling whatever they're feeling with whatever else is going on, so the reader can draw the conclusion, oh, because of all the stuff that's going on this page, this is why the character is feeling that thing. Knowing what a character is feeling, just being able to answer the question we might see on a test in school, what is the character feeling right now? is not enough. It's not wrong, but it's an incomplete answer to a bigger question of how does this mood, this moment, this part of the story, this scene, how does that contribute or affect or create how a character feels in it? Now, if you flip it around, we can also work with this. If we have a character who's in a mood, who's feeling a thing, and then they go somewhere, they're bringing that mood with them. It doesn't suddenly stop just because, oh, we're on the beginning of chapter two now. Moods are persistent. Emotions are persistent. Now, we use that to our advantage when we're crafting dialogue, when we're creating tension, when we're moving our story along. But we want to make sure that our emotional setup, the fuse we've lit to go off in some way, shape, or form, still has some kind of impact or effect put upon it by the environment. Nobody feels feelings in a vacuum. Nobody feels feelings just to feel them. There's always a context, always a situation, always a moment. And the reader doesn't only want to be informed that here is the furniture in the room, here is the weather outside, here is how the character feels. Statement, statement, statement. The reader wants to be brought along. The reader wants to be encouraged by the production of statements and the movement from one sentence to the next, so that after, you know, you've established what the scene is and what's going on and you've given some grounding, anchoring information, as we move to integrate the character and their thoughts and their actions into the scene, rather than only state character feels this, character does that, character has this expressed thought, here's the quotation marks, whatever, rather than just have it be this sort of stiff recitation, this staccato, what in music we would count as 4-4 time of just 1-2-3-4, 1-2-3-4 over and over and over again. We want to set up this sort of idea, this kind of framework that things are constantly in evolution. They're constantly being prompted by one another, for one another on the page. So the wind is howling outside and the character is worried about the coming storm. And we can say they're worried about the coming storm, but we can then follow up with even more sentences about the nature of the storm, a memory they have about the storm, what they are most worried about specifically. We can draw the reader in more to the background of their feelings as opposed to just the statement of the feeling. It's going to slow the story down. That's usually the big fear you get when you start poking at people's texts. It will slow the story down in so much as the reader has to read more sentences, but it will not slow the moment of the story down. It just won't. I don't know how else to explain it to you. The moment of the story, the metronome and the pacing of the story is not such a fragile thing that, like a snowflake on your finger, it will suddenly disappear and all hope will be lost. You can spend time developing the why underneath your character's feelings to help settle and resolve some of those show versus tell problems, because the reader wants to not only be able to see the movie in their imagination, see the text, see the images as you want them to, but they want to come to the conclusion that they can draw, oh, I read this, I see what the character's feeling, I create an atmosphere in my mind. They want to do that creative effort. They want to be a part of this process. You're giving them all the raw materials, semi-synthesized. They're picking it up and doing the rest of it. That is a hard balance to strike, and especially if you've never really stopped and thought about it as a new writer, it can seem very daunting. But there's quite a few things you can do in order to make it more palatable, more reasonable. First and foremost, the thing you can do for that is get in the habit of writing more sentences. Not just stiff statements of here's this and here's that and this is what this is and here's the backstory for this bush, but set it up so that the reader themselves is in the room, in the space, in the moment, next to the character. Maybe they're sitting at the dining room table with the character. Maybe they're, you know, just hanging out on the couch next to them as the news tells us how bad the storm outside is. Seat the reader somewhere in the room so they not only have the best optimal view of the objects you're going to describe in all the sentences, but so that they can be best immersed in the atmosphere of the moment. So we address it like this. Here's the scene, right? where is the character in this moment? They're feeling frustrated. They're feeling scared. The storm is rolling into their coastal town. Bad things are coming over the course of this book. That's where the character is. They're sitting in their living room watching the TV. We could park the reader anywhere. We could float them on the ceiling. We could sit them on the floor. We could sit them behind the main character. We could sit them next to the character. We could have them, you know, instead of facing the TV, looking on the same side as the TV, facing the character. We could position the reader in a lot of places to see lots of different things. And the specifics of those visuals matter a little in the sense that you as a writer have to make decisions about what visuals you're going to show in what order or what visuals you will exclude. But more important than just knowing that I will show this visual, I will show that visual, I will point to this, I will point to that, you also have a responsibility to create that atmosphere and mood, which means get in the habit of writing more sentences that don't only tell us the physical location or shape or history of an object. Get in there and talk about how the room feels as though the reader is in it. In this moment, in this kitchen, with this phone in their hand, with the news on, with the wind rapping at the window, how does it feel if the reader were in that room? Use that tool first and foremost, and you will see a significant improvement in how you are shaping and framing your scenes without really having to sweat show versus tell and other stupid advice on the internet. Give that some thought, and I will talk to you next week.